Great Scott! What's up, Gen Xers? I am Stu Monkey. I support Gen X grown-ups on Patreon because it's a lot easier than trying to get a 1982 DeLorean to 88 miles per hour. Just go to genxgrownup.com/patreon to learn more. And now, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up podcast listeners, to this episode 117 of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. I'm John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Wouldn't be a show without Mo. Hey, Mo.
Hey, everybody.
This episode, we review Roland Emmerich's lunar-themed Into the World movie, check out some sweet PC display tech from manufacturer Asus, and play the new action-adventure game based on Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. We have those topics and many more coming your way, but first, it is time for our favorite part of the show, mine anyway. You guys can fight over it if you want, but fourth listener email.
It's enjoyable.
My favorite part is the end.
The end. Goodbye, everybody. See you later. The end. We were just talking about making the shortest episode ever, right? That would do it. Welcome, everybody. Bye-bye. Yes, fourth listener email. This time around, it is Gen X grown-up patron Phaedrus, who joined us 2 or 3 months back on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And Mo, you handle fulfillment of Patreon deliverables, and you had just sent him his speed cube, you'll remember, right?
In the mail? Yes. Uh-huh.
So he dropped us a line on Patreon, and here's what Phaedrus had to say. Hi, Gen X grown-up. I wanted to send a quick thanks for the speed cube and card I received the other day. I'm proud to support you guys in some small way, and these items will be featured prominently in my game room.
Great. Cool.
I also wanted to mention that the last non-backtrack episode is one of my favorites so far. The story about the dude at Micro Center with his, with his cart loaded up with everything he needed to build himself a new PC made me smile. Because that used to be me.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yep. He says, every few years I'd head over to Fry's with a list and a lot of hard-earned cash and walk out broke but extremely happy, looking forward to building my new rig every bit as much as playing new games on it. Yeah, building it is a lot of the fun sometimes.
It was a lot of fun.
It certainly was back in the day.
It was frustrating but fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when it works.
It's... Yeah, exactly.
Right. If you bought the right parts.
Wrong memory? What do you mean wrong memory?
This doesn't line up. Push it in harder. That's never the right answer. Right? He says, one more thing. I was excited to hear you read my message on the podcast, and you were wondering why I was listening to the podcast in the truck all the time, guessing maybe I'm another truck driver. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm a dirt oval track racing driver.
Oh, cool.
And we listen to all manner of podcasts. Gen X grown up mainly, though. Bravo. Well played, Phaedrus.
Well done,
nicely
sir.
Done. Pulled that one out of a nosedive. As we travel all over the West Coast from track to track, my wife and crew enjoy it as much as I do, and they especially like John's fuck yeah church boy comment on one of the older backtracks.
Whoa, what was that one from?
Right? I had to look it up because I didn't remember the Pizza Arcade's backtrack. Apparently, there was a friend at church that invited me. He says, you like video games, don't you?
And I'm
like,
the lock-in.
Yes, the lock-in. Exactly right.
Yeah, okay, okay.
I didn't remember. I'm like, did I say that? I did, though. I absolutely said that.
Apparently, you did.
Yeah. So apparently, that's a quotable moment for Phaedrus and his gang. Yeah. Fuck yeah, church boy.
I see a new t-shirt.
Yes.
Put a star in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Put the Q-bert exclamation on there, right?
Right.
Anyway, he wraps it up by saying, as always, keep up the good work and I'll keep backing and listening, Phaedrus.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
That's
very
really nice.
Cool. We appreciate your writing and letting us know what we're doing right and wrong. We love when anytime the fourth listener writes in, if you'd like your email featured here on the show, you can hit us up on Patreon, as Phaedrus did, or drop us an email, podcast@genxgrownup.com. You know, we read every single one of them, and most of them, like Phaedrus's, will eventually make the show.
I love the fact that his full-time adult job is what I wanted to do as a kid when I was riding go-karts.
The dirt track racer?
God, yeah. That's awesome.
That's
man,
amazing,
I'm so jealous. That's awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes you find the thing you really want to do and you can make a living at it, more power to you.
Yeah, I bet he has a lot more broken bones than I do, but
yeah, I don't know. You quite a few. You were up there with Evel Knievel. You're
those guys, he's flipping that car going around the oval track. No, they got it worry worse than I
they
do.
They go for 2 or 3 at a time, don't they?
Yeah.
But think of it this way. If you had a story, how'd you break your arm? Oh, I fell down some stairs. How'd you break your arm?
Right.
Oh, it was dirt track racing and rolled over 4 times.
Like, oh, badass.
Man. You got the video? Where is that on YouTube?
Yeah, exactly. That's like such a better story.
Yep. Cool, Phaedrus. Thanks again for writing in. All right, with that good business behind us, it is time to jump into the meat of this episode right after the break. Stick around. Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals and their meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky. Mm-hmm. Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show, too. It helps more than you know.
Here comes the one, the delicious one. Heinz is the favorite one. There's only one ketchup with this flavor pouring on. So thick, so rich, so second to none.
Only one ketchup stands for this kind of thickness with this kind of taste. Heinz.
Heinz is the big, rich one.
Ketchup lovers, now try Heinz in the 64-ounce plastic bottle.
Let's get cooking here right at the top, talking about media we have been checking out. Of course, it could be comics or books or movies or television or whatever it could be. Now, I have something I went out to the theater to see. But first, George, I got to hit you up. You glossed over a little nugget last episode that I didn't follow up on. And I want to know, you mentioned that you didn't have to go see Moonfall like I did because you had canceled your A-list subscription recently.
Yep.
And you're a big proponent of A-list. What made you decide to drop it?
Well, so it came down to reward versus cost, really. So, yes, it's $20-some-odd a month. I think mine was like $23 after taxes or whatever. And the average movie ticket at my particular AMC here in Tallahassee is probably about $16 to $17. One movie is very close to the entire month of the A-list, but the movie theater here in Tallahassee itself is not as enjoyable of an experience to go to as the one that you have in Jacksonville. It's older. You remember, John, when it first opened up, we were in the Star Trek Club.
That's it was big time.
30 years, right?
Oh, so it's that old, huh?
Yeah, it's old.
Wow, that's old.
They have seats that have cuts in them, you know, those leather recliners. That's not good. Mm-hmm. And their snack bar is constantly out of stuff, as I'm sure a lot of places are because of the supply issues right now. Then it just boils down to the fact that I've got this brand new 4K TV in the living room.
Okay. Not as motivated to go to the theater, and it's a crappy theater and yada, yada, yada.
I see. So it got to the point where the drive to the theater was impeding me from getting my money's worth out of it and the enjoyment of seeing it on a big screen. every single month seeing two or three movies to make the value really worth it. Just it wasn't there anymore for me. So I've got the nice 4K TV at the house. I can sit with my wife. We can have our own snacks that we don't have to pay $20 for a box of popcorn.
So AMC didn't do anything to you per se, just the value proposition diminished for you over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was a nicer theater, if it was a bit closer of a drive to me, maybe I would go back to it. At this point, we had decided, you know, we're probably only going to go see two or maybe three movies in a year. Well, that's only three months worth of A-list.
That's right.
That makes sense. There's nine months that I'm paying extra for that I don't need.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was curious about that when you mentioned it, and I just let it slide. And I'm like, wait a minute. I want to follow up because I used my A-list to go and see a movie I was looking forward to. I did go to see the new film by Roland Emmerich, the guy who made Independence Day and all these disaster films. Geez. We said it looked stupid, and it was called Moonfall.
Ah,
yeah.
The crazy premise that tried to take itself seriously, right?
Kind of, yeah. Now, have either of you had a chance to see this yet? Probably George hasn't. He's not no A-list, right?
Not yet. It's one of those I know I'm going to see, and I'm probably going to hate myself for doing it. That's the way I feel.
It hasn't popped up on the public domain for me yet, so no, I haven't.
So you've not seen it. Okay. Yep. All right. So this is an interesting film. So it's not a good movie.
Okay.
But it's a movie that I had a lot of fun seeing. So it's hard to like review this film. So the dialogue is dumb. The characters are pretty one-dimensional. The effects are almost like a video game. They're not that amazing. The science is batshit crazy impossible. There's so many things about it that you go, oh God, oh God, oh God. And yet I found myself grinning, not like I'm watching it ironically, like I'm watching it to shit on it, like it's so bad, but I was literally somewhere deep inside of me is the kid that doesn't care about those things going, yay, fun movie. You know, and he was getting as much credence in my mind as the critic in me who was going, this is dumb, this is dumb, this is dumb. You know, the premise is that the moon's orbit is declining and it's going to like crash into the earth and cause a bunch of chaos. Of course, on the way down, it's controlling tides and affecting gravity and, you know, everything you'd expect from a Roland Emmerich film. Boats flying in the air and a train flipping end over end, whatever crazy stuff that you could do, over the top stuff. And then they spoiled a bunch of the plot points in the trailer where it's clear that there's something going on where the moon's hollow, which should have been a reveal, but they show it in the trailer and stupid crap like that. There are a lot of reasons I should have hated this movie. And yet, there I was, kind of having a good time seeing Moonfall.
Kind of having.
Yes, exactly. I was fighting with myself over, I don't want to like this. I kind of do, though. Damn it.
I think I know which movie you watched. I haven't seen Moonfall, but hearing your description, I think you watched The Core.
It sounds a lot like it, doesn't it?
Okay.
The trailer gave me that impression. Similar. And now here you talk about it. Batshit, crazy science bullshit. Right? Mm-hmm. Terrible one-dimensional characters. Terrible dialogue. But yet, something that I still, if I see it on TV, I'll sit and watch 20 minutes of it.
And watch it, yeah. This reminded me of Armageddon. Like,
same
Armageddon
thing. Okay.
Was a fun movie, not a smart movie, not an incredibly well-written movie. But I'll go back and watch it because I'm like, these dummies should never be on a space shuttle. Why would they ever assign these guys? Right? It's never going to happen. And that's how this movie is. So I guess in the end, here's my recommendation. If you want to watch a movie that you're going to enjoy as a great motion picture, don't go see this. But if it's on for free and you can turn off your mind, your critical mind, I should say, I think you'll enjoy it. I certainly did. I would watch it again. If somebody was like, I kind of want to see a movie and Moonfall is out, I'm like, okay, I'll go. It's A-list. I'll see it for free because I still have mine. So yeah, it's that middle of the road kind of film.
Okay. Is it really middle of the road?
It is. It's because it's so bad and so good at the same time. And I don't know where to put it.
It's middle of the road because it should get squashed by a pickup truck being driven across country. It sounds like.
It's just like a Frogger, middle of the road. Beep, beep. Whoosh. Yep. Yeah. So that's Moonfall. I saw in the theater. George, how about you? What have you been checking out in the world of media? Yeah,
well, so my media is the exact opposite end of the spectrum. Your media is frivolous and crazy and maybe shouldn't even watch it. Mine is serious and poignant and well put together documentary called The Fix.
Okay.
This is on the Roku channel. So I don't know how else you would get access to see this particular series if you don't have a Roku device.
Oh, it's a series?
Yeah, it's nine episodes of anywhere from 6 to 9 minutes each.
Huh. Okay. Bite size.
Right. And that's one of the things that makes it so absorbable and so memorable because they're all little bite-sized little episodes. First of all, the narrator host is Samuel L. Jackson.
That's good.
Okay. So if you got Samuel L. Jackson narrating anything, it's going to be somewhat
It's going to be at least
intriguing. Second of all, it's all about drugs.
Like pharmaceutical drugs or illegal drugs?
Illegal drugs, mostly.
Okay.
There are touches on pharmaceutical, like the opioid epidemic, of course. And each episode starts off with a premise, and the premise is like everything we thought we knew about marijuana is wrong. And then it goes into stuff, and it has experts, and it has historical data, and shows you things.
Okay.
I have been on both sides of the debate about illegal, quote-unquote, narcotics in this country for years. When I was younger and listening to my father in the Just Say No Nancy Reagan era, drugs are bad, don't ever do them. If I catch you doing them, I'm going to turn you in. I was on that side of the debate. As I grew up and grew older and had a little bit more time to think about it, I started falling on the, hey, it's your body, do whatever the hell you want with it side of the debate. What I'm finding, though, is doesn't matter which one of those sides of the debate you're on, we've been fucking programmed for the last 100 years.
Oh, really?
Completely programmed. And it all started with one guy. And that's the first episode. It talks about that one guy who headed up the Drug Enforcement Administration and how he used his influence with a relative who was a big mogul in media in order to start sending out all this propaganda throughout the country about how drugs are bad. He started the whole thing about, well, drugs are associated with African Americans who are going to rape white women and make babies. That was all him and his relative. And it went from there. And of course, you know, the McCarthy era, he translates like, well, we don't have the Mexicans and the African Americans to talk about anymore. Now let's talk about the Russians are pushing drugs on us and blah, blah, blah. It's communism. This guy was batshit crazy. That's episode one. And it's like 8 minutes long. And it talks brilliant, brilliant stuff in there. Really opens up your eyes if you're opened to listening to different sides of the debate. I feel more educated about our drug culture. I feel more educated about things like decriminalization versus legalization. I feel more educated about the opioid crisis. You know, everybody, big pharma, bad, 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 all this stuff. But then he showed, I think my favorite part of the entire series is the one expert that talks about drug addiction is not what we think it is. People aren't addicted to the drugs. They're basing that on an old 1940s lab experiment. There have been other experiments since then that show that that lab experiment was completely flawed. What people are doing are turning to drugs because of their environment, their situation that they're in. The original experiment, the rat was put in a completely empty steel cage. He was given two water bottles, one with drugs in it, one with just water. And he continuously drank from the drug one until he overdosed and died. So therefore, drugs are addictive. They're bad, blah, blah, blah. Now they've done a new experiment where the rats socialize with other rats. They have little play things and wheels,
other
and
stimulus available.
Right.
And they never choose the drug bottle. They always choose the water bottle. Nobody overdoses. Nobody dies.
Right.
There are countries who have completely legalized drugs, and you go to a clinic and the doctor gives you the proper amount of that drug, heroin or crack or whatever. And because it's A, a pure drug, and B, administered, you know, with the proper dosages and everything, these people live happy lives and their families reaccept them into their world. I'm going on and on. I said this was going to be a short podcast. I apologize. But
yeah, you blew that
it
already.
Sounds eye-opening, though.
Yeah.
It's a great series. If you can find it to watch it, please do.
Sounds really interesting. When the format of these short mini episodes is interesting. I know there was a whole channel that tried to do that. Remember?
Quibi.
And they failed. That's fine. Basically, a whole channel on it is kind of silly.
But Roku has an established platform to do this without launching a new network.
Doing a whole network is awesome. But yeah, that's interesting. And I've heard similar stories here about, like, I know there's countries that totally legalize drugs. The only restriction is that you have to get them from a doctor. And they have free clinics to get them from. And they say it gives them also an opportunity to counsel people. So, I don't know. It sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to find this sucker, man. It sounds good.
Yeah, there was one country that they talked about. And I can't remember if it was Portugal or one of the Netherlands countries, but they showed that in 2000, I think it was when they legalized drugs. And since then, there has not been a single overdose death in that country.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's surprising.
I'm fascinated. I've already added it to my indexer going like, please go find it. I want to see it. We have a Roku. I could go watch it in there too.
It's just so like, it just blows my mind that, you know, they talk about everybody in this country is saying, you know, well, we don't know if legalizing drugs will work. Bullshit. It's being done in other countries. Right, our own media and government are keeping that information from us.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Americans are much stupider than other countries, so it's possible we could have problems.
But yeah, that's right. We're not as reasonable.
I really encourage anybody out there to go watch this series. It'll
sold.
It'll change your mind.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Mo, do you have something that's similarly deep and life-altering?
Oh, hell no. It's like we're taking people on an emotional roller coaster this episode, let me tell you. So what I'm going to talk about is a show that just started on Amazon Prime. It dropped 3 episodes last Friday, and they drop a new episode every Friday going forward. It's called The Legend of Vox Machina. Have you guys heard of this at all?
No.
You mentioned it to me once, but I've already forgotten what it was.
I don't feel Critical Role, right? They're part of Geek & Sundry.
Oh, the D&D. Yeah.
They started doing D&D games, and they started putting them on YouTube and Twitch and stuff like that. And all the characters, like, they've done it for years, but they're all like voice actors and they've known each other. So they did this before it was even public. They just did it amongst themselves for fun. Now it's like this huge deal where people are religiously following it and stuff, and they have these characters, and because they're voice actors, they act out the characters so amazingly well that they did a Kickstarter where they said, hey, if we raise, and I forget the exact amount, I think it was like 100,000 or something like that, we'll do an hour animated short with our characters, like a little mini adventure animation of it.
Okay.
They raised $11 million.
That's a budget.
Well,
so it went from one episode to, okay, we're gonna do a series of three. We're gonna do a whole season now.
Wow.
Amazon said, no, we're gonna pick up more episodes. So they did 12. Amazon's picking up an additional like 12 that they're paying for.
Wow. So what they do with all the money that people back for Kickstarter? Well, they go to Amazon.
They pay for the production of the first set of one.
Okay, all right.
It was theirs. And I think anything that was left over, they gave this to a charity, I think is what they did. Because they're not really doing it for money. Amazon came in and said, no, we'll fund for you to keep doing it. So now they're doing additional episodes. I heard that. I was like, holy cow. Plus, they got like voice actors like David Tennant, Felicia Day, of course, you know, because she's part of Geek & Sundry, so she's in it. Mm-hmm. And so they came up with this animated series. And I don't want to go into the whole thing because I think you guys should watch it because it's really funny. But the opening segment is like one of these like in the land and it's all beautiful and wonderful until evil came. And then this group of heroes, and they have all these heroes striking this big heroic poses and stuff. And then evil comes all of a sudden while they're standing there, a huge boulder crushes one of them.
Oh, jeez.
And the guy's first comment is, what the fuck? That's the show. That's the show in a nutshell.
So it doesn't take itself too seriously.
It does not take itself too seriously. It just goes on from there. And it's really, really funny. I talked to my daughter. She's been a big fan of Critical Role since they started.
Okay.
According to her and her husband, that they said that they kind of did like the first adventure and they sort of abridged it a little bit. And it's, you know, they couldn't do it exactly because no one wants to see an exact D&D adventure, right? It's just basically a story, but he said they did a really good job, and they said the voice acting and the writing is just really fun.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
Why have we not put the escape room on fucking Kickstarter and raised $11 million so that we can all quit our jobs and do this full time and put out a few escape room episodes?
Yeah.
Right. Well, of course, if we got backed by Amazon, George's eye teeth would itch about donating all that money to charity. He's like, but a bank account looks so good.
If we're backed by Amazon, I'll wait for my shit. I don't mind if they're paying.
Oh, I'll wait for my...
I just hate that I pay them and don't get my stuff fast. That's all.
They're paying us to produce it. It'd be great. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Exactly. I want to know from our listeners if we should start a Kickstarter, because apparently this is the way to go. You just need to have an idea, throw it on Kickstarter, you get $11
million. $11
million? Yeah. Well, we get Amazon's attention, maybe, at worst case. Okay, sure.
How about that? Netflix or greenlit.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
Oh, my kid had craze, a great big hug. His rubber mouse, a roll on the rug. My kitty cat craves a scratch behind his ear. My ball of yarn, me being near. But most of all, my kitty cat craves, craves.
Crave Dry Cat Food is made from a unique blend of real chicken, milk, and tuna protein. Not flavors, but the real foods cats crave.
Oh, my kitty cat craves, craves.
Give your cat the real protein-rich foods cats crave.
Let's jump into tech and toys, because I actually have mm-hmm. tech. Had a birthday. I got tech. All right.
All right.
So let's start with you, George. What do you got for us today?
Just something real brief. I know that there's a lot of people out there that debate which browser is the best to use. Yep. And there's all kinds of videos and websites that will tell you this is the best browser, number one on the list, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. We primarily use either Chrome or what's the Internet Explorer
Edge.
One now? Edge. Right. Edge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're both built on Chromium. I think a lot right. of browsers out there now from my research mm-hmm. are mostly built on Chromium. The one I'm going to talk about, though, is called Vivaldi. I saw it on a YouTube Vivaldi. Video where the guy ranked his top five or so browsers. I hadn't heard of it before. So I said, I'm going to go take a look at it because I'm not 100% happy with Chrome and I'm not 100% happy with Edge.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I've even used Firefox here and there, and that's, you know, sometimes I just feel sluggish or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded Vivaldi. It's free download like most browsers are. Super fun browser, lots of extra security features to stop things like pop-ups and all that kind of stuff. Now, I will say there are some websites that do not work with Vivaldi. I just found one today, my website that I order my CPAP supplies on, apparently not compatible with Vivaldi for whatever reason, but the majority, 99.8% of the websites I've gone to have been just fine. They load much, much, much faster.
Really?
The browser takes a little while to get used to because some of the things that you do with Chrome or whatever, like control enter to enter.com, well, you have to change that setting inside the settings of Vivaldi before that'll work.
Hmm.
When I'm on YouTube with Chrome, I will right click one of the videos to open it in a new tab and I'll watch it later. If you do that in Vivaldi, it takes you to that tab. And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to go to that tab right now.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Gotcha,
but
gotcha.
There's another right-click option that says open in sub tab or something. Well, that does the same thing that the Chrome thing did.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Gotcha.
Little tweaks here and there, but I like the browser.
Huh. You said something that sparked my interest that I've never said in my life. Maybe I said this in 1993 when I first got on the internet. You said, it's a fun browser to use.
Mm-hmm.
What? Well, what do you mean a fun? How is it fun?
I think
is it because it's fast or is it entertainment in it somehow?
There's no entertainment in it. I think it's fun because it's fast. It's easy. It's what I expect when I downloaded Chrome or Edge or any of those other browsers.
Mm-hmm.
There was very little barrier to entry. Those other browsers, for whatever reason, they never quite work exactly right for me. There's always some little hiccup that doesn't work right. Like we use our browsers to log into our podcast recording tool. And you, John, you remember for a long time.
Didn't work.
I had problems with mics not syncing up and allow. Don't have that problem at all with Vivaldi.
Interesting.
So it's more of a, you're having a good time with it. That makes it fun.
Yes.
It's not giving you frustration. Got it. Thanks. Okay.
So what about plugins and stuff? Do they work?
All the Chrome plugins. Work. Yep.
Interesting.
Oh,
yep.
It's probably because it's Chromium based, as you said.
Exactly.
So that would make sense.
So you just go to the Chrome store, download the extension, install it, boom, done. Yep.
Nice.
Because for a lot of people, that would be an instant deal breaker if your plugins didn't work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And because the Chrome plugin store is probably the most popular, at least on the Windows platform devices.
Yeah.
Yep.
So my LastPass plugin works, my Google Drive plugin, all the other different things that I use, they all work.
Interesting.
Nice.
All right. That's worth checking out then.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. All right, John, I talked about that. I know you've got something later on, but Mo actually has something for his tech segment. So well, I want to know about his first. So Mo, what do you got?
Yeah. I got stuff for the next few, so I am set.
That's due to your birthday, which you said was coming
up,
right?
My birthday just passed, so I got all sorts of great tech stuff. So the one I want to talk about today is the Asus.
You can pronounce it however you want as long as you got it for free.
Yes, true. Good point.
Fact.
It's a gaming 32-inch curved monitor.
Ooh. The curved one.
Let me tell you, it's nice.
I bet.
It's nice. I cranked up the resolution on it just to see how much I could get on it. It went to some ridiculous thing that actually was like too high for me. Actually, it was like 2715 by 1527 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
The curve, I really like. It's not like a huge curve. It's just a little slight curve in it.
Okay.
But I like it, though. I don't know why. Just everything seems the same distance now for some reason. As far as like it has a high refresh rate, it's super clear, super nice color on it, especially since I didn't pay for it. But even if I did, I still think it's a pretty awesome monitor.
Yeah.
I have a question because I know you're probably used to using dual monitors at least at work, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
How does this feel compared to dual monitors? Because I've been considering moving to a single curved monitor versus the two monitors because I hate that black bezel thing in the middle of two monitors.
Oh, right.
And for some reason, my neck is messed up. So if I look at my left monitor for too long, my neck starts hurting.
Well, I don't want that.
How does the curve one feel compared to that?
This one, I actually still have a two monitor setup. So I basically have one, the curved monitor, because it's 32 inches, which is not like.
Oh, so it's not ultra wide. It's just curved.
Oh, okay.
It's just curved. Right. Mm-hmm. But as far as the curved monitor, though, I know somebody who actually has one of the ultra wide curved monitors. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you that it's pretty nice. I don't have a problem with the two monitors because to me, it kind of constrains things a little bit for me. You know, maximize something on one monitor and it only maximizes in there. Whereas if you do it on that thing, you'll just do the whole screen.
Sure.
But the widescreen one is pretty nice too, though. It's pretty awesome. Mm.
Do you know what it runs for if you had to buy it? Any idea? Was it on your wish list? Had you looked? Any idea?
So this one actually was not bad. It was, relatively speaking, it's $280 right now.
That's right on that line.
It is. That's in the TV range. Yeah. It was ultra wide. That might be easier to stomach.
Oh, yeah. Ultra wide. It's going to be a lot more money, though. You know, those ultra wides are not cheap right now.
Yeah.
I suppose it also depends on the combination of size and resolution and refresh rate.
Yeah.
I'm sure all those things combined in different formulas give you different prices.
Yeah. And I played games on it. The games run, I mean, honestly, I don't play like any of these online games, so I don't know if the refresh rate is as important to me as some people. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, everything looks great on it. And John, for doing like video editing and stuff, you know, I pop that on there and just having all that extra real estate and time, it's pretty amazing. Much easier.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
You did have a good toy. You're right.
I had an excellent toy. I got more coming, but I'll save for those next episodes.
Okay.
So, awesome. So how about you, John? You got a pretty cool toy, though.
I did. So I have been for some time, we've ribbed you about being in the Apple ecosystem, but one thing that Apple has always been the front runner in was from the introduction of the iPad, tablet computing. They virtually introduced the market to tablet computing, and their iPad has been the de facto. And Android tablets have often kind of been, that's not even really a tablet. It's kind of garbage. But in my experience of the last 5-6 years, I found that the Galaxy Tab line, top of the line tablets, are pretty darn good.
Yeah, I like the Galaxy tablets.
Yeah. And I had a Tab S2 and I had a Tab S4 and I didn't really need it. The Tab S4 is still great, actually. I enjoy it. But on my vacation a few weeks back, I noticed that the screen was separating from my Tab S4, like it was lifting up. And I went, that's weird. Maybe I can push it down. Well, a little more investigation. The battery was swelling and pushing the screen away from the back plate.
That doesn't sound safe.
No, that's not safe at all. So that sent me down a rabbit hole of like, well, I could replace the battery. I'm like, I wonder what new tablets look like these days. Maybe I'll.
Right.
So long story short, I went searching and I found they're about to release in the coming days. In fact, the new Unpacked event, they're going to announce the Galaxy Tab S8.
Okay.
But I bought the top of the line at the time I bought it. Samsung tablet called the Galaxy Tab S7 Plus. They've earned my money over the previous ones I've owned. And this one was everything I had bumped up. It's a 12.4-inch diagonal screen. It's enormous.
Wow, that's good size. Yeah, it's respectable.
Right, yeah. It's got a 13-megapixel 4K camera on it. A good camera on a tablet, front and back. Awesome. It's got like 8 gigs of RAM. I bought the biggest one you could. It's got 512 gigs of internal storage. It's got a 10,000 plus milliamp battery. So I've been charging it once a week in average usage.
Oh, nice.
It just really lasts. And plus the thing you can do is that because Samsung does this and Android does this, Apple almost never does, is you can expand the memory. It has the micro SD card slot. So I got another, half terabyte slot in there. And I've seen many videos since I got this. You know, you get something new and you start exploring and you go, did I make the right decision? And what do people think about this? I did some before, after. But so many people say, finally, this is something that gives the iPad a run for its money.
Oh,
and it's because of the things they've done with the software. Like, remember the Samsung DeX where you could plug it into a monitor and it could behave like a computer?
Sure.
You don't need to plug it into a monitor anymore. You can just go into DeX mode and on the big tablet, it looks like as a taskbar and apps are in Windows for multitasking.
Oh.
You can connect a Bluetooth mouse. mouse and control it that way.
Okay.
The multi, you can like three things in tiered windows if you want in tablet mode. It's so much more than an old, you know, kind of check my mail, watch YouTube kind of tablet. And finally, the biggest thing with it, probably, I don't know, the biggest thing, one of the many great things, you know, AMOLED screen that's awesome to look at and all that stuff. It has the Apple Pencil that you have to buy separately for the iPad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has that new S Pen, comes free in the box. It's as cool, I think, as an Apple Pencil. It's 256 different degrees of pressure.
Nice.
For artwork and painting, you know, like you swipe across it and it looks like paint or it looks like charcoal or whatever. Incredibly responsive. And for somebody that wasn't in the market for a tablet, to have spent what's basically $700-$800 more to get a new one after I just fixed the battery mm-hmm. of my old one, I don't mind at all. I'm pretty darn happy with it.
So yeah, actually, I remember because you showed it to me, and like I have one of the iPad Pros. I love it. I do. Okay. I have the Apple Pencil, which I had to pay separately. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But I saw yours. Let me tell you, the screen sharpness.
It's crazy.
Like, it looked awesome. And I think it's just like, I think it's that interface, like that pencil and stuff. I think that was like one of those deciding factors. I know people who did artwork always got iPads because you can have that Apple Pencil. But now it seems like Samsung is actually stepping up the game and come up. Like I said, this could be a good competitor for it.
It surely seems that way.
I am sorry. I just heard you say the price. You said $700 to $800.
That is what I said. You're right. Did you go look it up? Did you?
Well, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. They were running a hell of a sale when I bought it. So that helped me too.
Okay. Yeah. Because my son is interested in trying to buy a gaming PC now that my SkyTech woes are over. Mm-hmm. And that's been a terrible road to go down because, you know, of all the GPU shortages everything else.
Yeah,
Everything you're going to pay for it. MSRP says $300. They're going to release it at $850 or whatever for a damn GPU.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, you know, I haven't had a new tablet since I got one from Verizon for some phone plan that I had. And it was an Asus, which, you know, I actually like the tablet. It's a good tablet, but I love Samsung Galaxy, but Jesus Christ, $700 for a tablet? That just feels out of line.
That's what they're going for, though. Well,
but an iPad costs more than that.
Yeah, it does.
Then an iPad is out of line. I'm just saying, $700
maybe
for a tablet.
Maybe that's true. But that's what the market is bearing. I get your point. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's the good news. I mentioned that the S8s are about to be announced. That means that S7 is going to start ticking down in price a little bit over time. And it's not getting worse. It's just as good as it was
today. When I bought tablets several years ago, like $150, $300 was, you know, the top of the line money. At that point.
Yeah, not anymore.
Wow. I didn't realize they'd gone up that much.
Oh, I think the line between these tablets and laptops is almost non-existent anymore. I mean, you could do pretty much anything.
I'll tell you where the line is. It's a damn keyboard. That's where the line is. They're not as functional as a laptop.
No, you can get a keyboard for a Mac.
But you can add a Bluetooth keyboard to it, and functionally it gets similar.
Yeah, but I got to spend more money. My laptop came with a keyboard for that same damn price.
Fair point. Fair point.
Absolutely.
If you're looking for that ultra mobile thing, though.
True.
Boy, especially if you're an iPad fanboy, you should look at this, right? We'll throw a link down in the description so you can explore it, just so you know what's out there. Because I think many people think Android tablets junk. You should give it a second look, because these days, they're not all junk. There's some pretty badass ones out there. And this was one of them.
Cool.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Pressbox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Pressbox Access.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Oh, what a meal, oh.
Hamburger helper lasagna.
For your family.
Authentic Italian taste.
Hearty robusto. But not too spicy, eh?
Hamburger helper lasagna turns your plain hamburger into a delicious Italian meal with authentic Italian taste. Curly Italian noodles, rich tomato sauce, and a better blend of spices.
Hamburger helper.
Lasagna.
Helper, hamburger helper.
Make a great meal.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to talk about games. We all three have something to contribute, but before we get into those games, I want to spend just a little moment to talk about Humble Bundle. Oh. Yes, that purveyor of our A to Z list that we were so happy about for 50 some odd weeks or however long that was. They have a new bundle out right now, and I just thought it was important to bring it up because it's a bundle that is exclusive and specialized for a specific charity. It's called the Humble Bundle Fuck Cancer Bundle.
All right. I'm sold.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's a great name.
I love the name, and I love the spirit of it. Yep, great.
It is on until February 18th. At 2 p.m. Eastern time. So you have from the time that you hear this on the podcast till then in order to pick this up. It's a minimum of $10, but of course you can pay more if you want to give more to the charity. Mm-hmm. I just want to run down the games. There are 13 games in there, and they're not slouches at all. There's World War Z Aftermath, Dead by Daylight, Payday 2, Magicka, Dungeon of the Endless, The Hunter Call of the Wild, Homeworld Remastered Collection, Homeworld Deserts of Karak.
Wow.
John, one of your games, Little Nightmares.
Yeah.
Right? Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Pepe's Adventure, Red Faction Armageddon, and Hamilton's Great Adventure.
Dang, that is a lot of decent stuff for, what'd you say, $10 or something?
$10, exactly. Yeah. Now, it's not the one where they did that one right at the start of COVID, remember, where it was like against racism thing, where it had like hundreds of things in it. It's a very limited bundle, but the titles are all really solid. That Little Nightmares, John, I looked at the trailer on that thing. I was sold immediately. That's worth the $10 for
it
the
is.
Whole bundle
You're
to me.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Bundles like that. You just got to find one to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Did you say World War Z Aftermath?
Yeah.
That right now, if you want to buy it yourself, is $40.
Wow.
Jeez. Oh, man. It's like a no-brainer. Yeah. So, you know, any of them. Yeah.
Wow. Damn.
So you've got between now and February 18th at 2 o'clock Eastern time in order to pick this up. If you want to grab 13 great games for a reasonable price and say fuck you to cancer,
that's right.
This is your thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw you an affiliate link to Humble Bundle. We're an affiliate of theirs. You throw it down the show notes for our listeners and they can click right there and go straight to it. Very nice. Awesome. Good find, man.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, now it's time to get into the game segment. Mo, what are you playing this week?
So for my birthday, I decided to buy myself a game. So
good for you.
I bought myself the new Age of Empires 4.
That's the one that made me go buy a new laptop for my life.
Yeah, I've always loved the franchise from the day one when Age of Empires first came out. Because at the time it came out, it was actually pretty, for the capabilities of the computer, it was pretty amazing what it did.
Yeah, it was
and
fun.
Let me tell you, I am really happy with this fourth edition because it feels like the original game plus.
Really?
And not plus so much that it's like, is it really the same game anymore? You know, that to that level. It seems like they added some little tweaks. They made things a little bit easier. The graphics, of course, are way, way improved. Improved and all that kind of stuff. But playing it, I feel like I'm playing the original game with new stuff added to it. So it feels like a fresh game again. So I'm very, very happy with it.
That's awesome because my wife did not take to the game whatsoever. She's played it like three times and said she just didn't get interested in it.
Really? The new laptop specifically.
I bought the game and the laptop, man. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that again, honey. You're on your own now for your game fix.
So, I mean, so like I said, it's a great game. Really love it. But that's what I got going on. So how about you, John?
Oh, yeah. I have a new mobile game to feed your mobile addiction.
No.
Are you ready?
Oh, shit. I just got rid of a whole bunch off my phone, too.
Usually what happens is by the time I'm done describing it, George has already downloaded it. Yeah. So just brace yourself. So this is a game I found. I don't know how I came across it. Often I search and find garbage. But I found this game called The Superhero League. And it had a kind of a cartoon on it that kind of looked like The Incredibles a little bit. I'm like, oh, that kind of style outfit. I'm like, I'll take a look. This is really just a puzzle game. Now, let me upfront say that it is ravenous about ads. If you don't pay for it, it's too often the ads are coming up, but you pay for no ads. And it's like, it's maybe $2 or $3 to pay for it, which I did. I'm very happy to have done that. And if you want to unlock all the characters, which you're going to want to, each of the characters is locked behind you watching one video ad to unlock them. So you're paying them for the new character by watch one ad for 30 seconds and you forever have that character unlocked.
Okay. That's not too horrible.
So with that behind me, got that out of the way. Here's what the game is. It's a puzzle game at its core.
Okay.
And so what you have is your superhero, and you're not a touchy-feely, like, I got to take care of the bad guy superhero. You're a kill-all-the-bad-guy superhero.
Oh, okay.
Your little guy standing there, and with whatever superpower you have to kill the bad guys on the screen. One guy is like telekinesis. Like, he can grab a bad guy and just throw him against the wall and kill him.
Okay.
And then you unlock a guy who has portals, like the game Portal. Oh, yeah. You can put a portal here and a portal there and throw a dynamite box at him. One of them, you could just draw things, like draw a circle, and you stop drawing, and it becomes a rock that falls and squishes the guy. And each of the levels takes like 5 seconds to play. There must be thousands of levels in this thing. And the way you kill the guys is it's ragdoll physics, and where you hit them is a spray of blood comes out of them. It's so gratifying. And they go, ah! And they add great elements to it. Like they add good guys who you do not kill, right? So you have to figure out how to kill the bad guys without hurting the good guys. Right?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then they have guys that are immune to your superpowers. So like you can't directly hit him. You got to drop something on him. They add enough little elements to it that make it interesting. Maybe the best one is this one superhero that throws ninja stars.
Okay.
And those ninja stars, they've added, like instead of just hitting a guy, it however you hit them, it slices them. If you hit them on the top of their head, it slices the top of their head off. If you hit them in their arm, it slices their arm off. It is so cartoony gruesome and fun to play. For the $2 or $3, I've gotten way more than my Corey's out of it, I would say. I've been playing it every day and I've unlocked all the guys. So yeah, if you're looking for something, you know, we talked about your bowling game. I finally got over the retro bowl and I was poking around. So Superhero League, it's both on iOS and Android, I think.
Okay.
Go check it. You can try it for free, but it is a lot of fun. You definitely is one I would recommend to check out. And if you like it enough, you know, $3 ain't bad for permanence on a game like
that.
Okay. Now, this is a game based on superheroes. George, you have a game on your list that is also based on a superhero team, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. So just like we talked about in the intro to the episode, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a very new game. It's just come out recently. It's still pretty close to full price. I happened to pick it up for 35% off on the latest Steam sale that was going on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I didn't mind paying it. I think I paid like $30 or $40, whatever, for it. But I've played probably halfway through the introductory teach you how to move in the world level so far.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So far, I'm happy that I bought the game. Visually stunning, as you might imagine. The characters do not look like the real life people. They look slightly different, which is fine for me. All the characters, I don't need them to look just like Chris Pratt or whoever.
Oh, the actors who played them in the films. Got it. Yep.
People talk about that a lot whenever some big movie or TV franchise gets turned into a video game some way. They don't look like the same. It's not the same voice actors.
Yeah, how do they expect them to?
I don't need that in this game. The people who are doing the voice acting so far are exactly what I heard in my mind of these characters before these Marvel movies started coming out with these characters.
Okay.
So the gameplay so far has kind of been sporadic. It seems as though the game, at least in its early stages, is more geared toward you interacting with your team. Now, you play as Star-Lord Peter Quill. The whole thing starts off with you having a dream where you're back home and your mother comes into your bedroom and she's like, come on, it's your birthday. Come out and have cake. And then you look around your room a little while and stuff. And then as soon as you open the door, Drax is waking you up. Come on, the creature's there. We got to go. So you're on your ship. You start off the first mission. You're trying to go steal something from the Nova Corps, of course. I'm still not 100% convinced of the gameplay itself because there just hasn't been a lot of it for me in the first like 20 minutes or so of the game.
So what type of game is it?
Solo adventure heavy storyline game, I would say. You control what the characters do in a lot of the situations. Like so far, if I need a bridge created by Groot in order to help us get across a large expanse, I can tell Groot, go make a bridge over there.
Like squad commands.
Got it.
Okay.
You're telling your partners, but you always play Peter, but you can use their powers by asking them to help you. Got it. Yeah
exactly. Okay. And the story so far feels as though it's going to be a really nice epic story. I don't think it's going to quite be the same immersiveness as a BioShock or a Mass Effect, but it's probably one step down from that.
Interesting. I know you said you got this for a discount, which made it pretty well worth it. Do you know what it runs? Is it like premium title? Is it new these days? What does it cost if it's not
premium
on sale?
Premium title, new. I paid $38 for it after the discount. It's $60 without the discount. And this is the historical low. I remember looking it up on Is There Any Deal? So this is the first time it's been on sale because it's only been out for a few months.
Yeah, it's not that. Yes, yeah, fairly new game.
You got a rock bottom. Okay,
cool.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple superhero games to play. I mean, I'm interested in yours and I hope you go and download mine and check it out.
We'll see. Which was more funny, the $3 game or the...
Is it $3 or is it the $60 game?
Yeah.
Right. Might be close.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
We got a zigzagged ship that'll make you sing. Ruffle zigzagged ridges got zigzag zing.
Zigzag zing.
Ruffle zigzagged ridges got a zing of their own. Put that zigzag zing in your zigzag zone.
Zigzag zing.
Before we wind up this episode, you always like to take a few seconds here right at the end to talk about the things we're either looking at right now or looking forward to between now and the next time we all get together to record the show. Mo, why don't we get started with you? What do you got on the horizon?
Sure. I mean, well, one's a couple movies. The first one's that new movie Uncharted, which I guess is based on the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The PlayStation franchise.
It looks like an adventure kind of crazy sort of movie. I'm game for it.
Okay.
Not like completely excited, but, you know, hey, I'll see it.
Okay.
And then the Jackass Forever is coming out, which it's one of those, I'm going to see it, and I'm hoping it's his last one, because that guy's getting way too old to be doing these things, but looking forward to that one. And the last one is I'm actually going on a real vacation, like, for the first time in God knows how long, so I'll be good gone for 10 days.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Where are you going?
Going to Uganda, actually. We're going to do a gorilla thing there, we're doing a rhino thing, and I'm also helping my girlfriend, she does the children's charity thing, so
she's... Go ahead, George. I saw, you and I have the same thought.
What was that?
Did you just say you're going to do a gorilla, and do then the you're going to do a rhino?
I said, do the gorilla thing, do the rhino thing.
I mean, that still doesn't clear it up a lot, but okay.
And I'm unclear. Are you doing like Gorilla the Ape or like Gorilla Freedom Fighters? What are you doing out there?
There's a preserve out there.
You still.
Again, apes or freedom fighters? What are you preserving?
They don't do preserves for freedom fighters.
I don't know. I've never been to Uganda. I don't know.
So, yeah, there's a nature preserve. How about that?
Got it. Okay.
And you pay get a tour. They take you into the jungle, and you get to go see real gorillas, which I'm like, that's pretty cool. It's not something I've ever done before. I may hate it. Who knows? But it's a new experience, so I'm going for it.
Yeah, I'm too fat to take that chance. They'll just eat me in a heartbeat.
They may not.
Yeah. Well, the rhino wouldn't. In fairness, the rhino would leave you alone. He would just gore you.
He would just gore you. Yeah, exactly. Totally different. Right. But no, as I said, it's the first time I'm actually kind of getting out of the country doing some stuff. As long as COVID doesn't screw it up, I'm game to go. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right.
How about you, John?
A couple things I'm looking forward to. The first is a new series that just dropped. I haven't watched any of it yet, but it's called Murderville. It's the series on Netflix. Stars Will Arnett.
Oh.
He's being as Will Arnetty as he can possibly be. And the idea is that each episode they're trying to solve a crime, and everyone is an actor. They have a celebrity guest star solving the crime with them. That person doesn't have a script and doesn't know what's going on in the show. So they mess with them, and they have to figure out the murder right along with the actors, but they don't know who the murderer is. There's twists that they get surprised with. So
interesting.
Looked interesting.
It may suck, but it sounds interesting.
It could, but it's Will Arnett. It can only be so bad.
True.
Good point. Yeah. The next thing is inspired by George, actually. George has been working on his home studio for recording and podcast and YouTube work. I finally got off my butt and started working on our back guest room. I got the old furniture out of there, started doing replacing ceiling fans and working on, you know, wall coverings and things like that for a dedicated YouTube studio that I can do work in. It's coming along slowly, but thank you, George, for your motivation. Got me going there. And finally, looking forward to is exaggeration. I've watched the first episode of, but ready to watch way more. And that's the revival of Fraggle Rock, called Fraggle Rock Back to the Rock. It's on Apple Plus, Apple TV, whatever it's called now. Watch the first episode, and aside from it being widescreen,
Unlike 4x3, it feels just like Fraggle Rock.
Nice.
You could mistake it for the old Fraggle Rock. I mean, updated technology, and they do more thing with the doozers, and there's more stuff you can do with remote control than they used to do in the 80s, but boy, does it look and feel and sound, and the music is there, and the heart is there. Way more Fraggle Rock, and it's looking really good. So, eager to watch some more of that. George, what do you got coming up, man?
Well, just like Mo, I'm looking forward to Uncharted. I think Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg will be an interesting pairing in that film. Right after that, a film that I've been looking forward to pre-COVID, The Kingsman. This is the prequel in the Kingsman series of spy adventure stuff. They're finally coming out with this movie. And then the last one I'm looking forward to is one that I've just seen some commercials for in the last month or so. It's called Death on the Nile. It's the Agatha Christie story. With an updated cast. Gal Gadot is part of it. Letitia, I forget her name. She's the younger brother and or younger sister in Black Panther.
All right.
Anyway, I was a big Agatha Christie fan when I was growing up. It was one of the first murder book series that I would read with Hercule Poirot and, you know, the whole thing. I love those. They're not difficult murders to figure out, but they're fun, and I really enjoy the story. So I'm really looking forward to this Death on the Nile. I think it'll be a blast.
You get bonus points for me for being able to pronounce Hercule I can't even say his name.
I'm not sure I said it right either.
I think you did it right to me.
In there and hoped it worked out.
You're getting some nerd cred for me because I can't even pronounce his name. But yes, the Super Detective. That does look like a cool film. All right. A lot of stuff to look forward to. Before we get out of the show, a quick thank you. We like to kind of call attention to any of our supporters that have stood out or upgraded themselves. And I want to call out, George, one of your favorite patrons, Marcus. You might remember Marcus is already a Patreon supporter at the top tier. He's right up there. Just last week, just for no good reason, he gave us a raise. He bumped himself from 25 to 35 pledge to help us out. I asked him, what's up with that? What did we do for that? He said, you know, I support some other people that I didn't really watch anymore. I took that money and gave it to you because I get a lot of enjoyment out of what you guys do at Gen X Grown Up. So
that's cool.
Thank you so much, Marcus. Wow.
Absolutely.
Speechless. I don't know. I mean, either I'm stunned or I've got you buffaloed or I don't know what it is. You've decided that we're worth that money and we're so grateful.
First of all, you're still not speechless. John talks more than any human being on the planet, as far as I can tell. So you're still talking, even though you think you're speechless, which is an interesting dichotomy to somebody giving us more money.
I guess to say I'm speechless and then I'm not sure what to say. How about that?
Okay.
So I'm wordless, but I have speech.
You just keep talking until you figure out what to say.
That's right. I'll let you know when I get there. Thank you so much, Marcus. We're grateful for you and everybody who supports us, whether it's on YouTube or over on Patreon. So much appreciated. That is going to wrap it up for this edition of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another one, but next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. This time around, people love our top 10 shows. We are doing another top 10. We're looking at... So, films are great. Film soundtracks are great. Sometimes the soundtrack really makes the film even greater. And we're looking at the top 10 80s movie soundtracks as picked by the three of us, the Gen X Grown Up crew. There was some debate on that. And as with any top 10, it went pretty well. I think I'm pretty proud of our list. And so you'll get to hear it next week.
And if you ever want to hear that debate, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp and you'll get to
hear it.
That's true.
We recorded the arguments so that you as a bonus for a supporter. Marcus will hear it. He's already in there. Great.
Right.
Thanks, guys. Hey, we absolutely hope you will join us for that one. Until then, I'm John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, I appreciate you, man.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it's you, though. We all appreciate most of all, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. I'm going to be as brief as possible.
1:17.
I'm going to see if I can keep us to 45 minutes recording.
Wow.
Like, yep, I play a game called Marvin's Guardians of the Galaxy. Next.
It exists.
It's going to be riveting entertainment for the listeners. Like, what do you got, Mo? Got a new monitor. John? Tablet. Yep. All right, be right back.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. and together we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.